Rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk Gimel. Vivachem Mikol Amo Yelakot Imo. V'yav Yerushalayim Asher Yehuda. And of course he is now pushing for Aliyah. V'yiven as Beis HaShem Elokei Yisrael Hu Elokim Asher Yerushalayim. And with the Aliyah process together will be the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Continuing Pasuk Dalet. V'chol Ad Yishar Mikol HaMikom Asher Yehuda Garsham. Yinasu Anshe Mikomo V'kesu V'zoh V'chushu V'veima. Iman Adam Le Beis Elokim Asher Yerushalayim. So what happened? In Pasuk Hey, Pasuk Vav, you have the reaction, the response of the leadership of Yehuda, Binyamin, the Kohen, and Leviim. And Pasuk Vav, B'chol Sivoseim, Chizku, B'ideim, B'klei, Kesem, B'zor, B'rechush, U'beima, U'vibidonos. People are now volunteering, and they are volunteering also all types of material in order to contribute to the mission. And then the next series of psukim, v'amelach koresh hotzi et klei bet Hashem asher hotzi nechadati b'shalayim v'yidem b'meis alokah. So what does the koresh do? He removes the klei bet Hashem. If you remember, the Nebuchadnezzar had actually, in the course of destroying the Beis HaMikdash, he also plundered and looted the kelim, and that's what koresh is now wanting to restore. And now we have a description till the end of the parak of the different kelim that are being spoken about. So now I'm starting Perek Beis. Now in Perek Beis, actually, of Sefer Ezra, you're going to have a list of all the people who are Olim from the Gola. I'll start beginning of Perek Beis. Pasuk Aleph. V'yelam b'nei ha-medinot ha-olim mishvi ha-gola asher hegla nebuchadnezzar melech babel le-babel v'yashuv l'Yerushalayim v'yidna ish l'Iro. Those that return together with Zerubbabel. And we find actually that, as you'll see in a moment, the list actually that's going to be mentioned, and here we have a very lengthy list, and I'll just read it quickly because I have a few comments on this list as well. At the end of Pasuk Beis, Asher Bo'um Zubabel Yeshua Nechemya Sroya Reiloya Mordechai Bilshon Mispar Bigvai Rechum Bana Mispar Anche Am Yisrael. So initially, at the end of Pasuk Beis here, you see that these are the list of those that actually that were Miyuchas L'Am Yisrael. Now why does it say this? Mispar Anche Am Yisrael? So it could be, I saw in some of Farshim, they explain that this comes to actually exclude, just as you had, if you remember in Mitzrayim, there was a group of people called the Erev Rav, that accompanied Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Who were they, the Erev Rav? They were Goyim. They were non-Jews who accompanied Klal Yisrael. That's a pasuk in Shmos. If you have a Tanakh in front of you, you can see it. Look at Shmos Yudbeis for a second. Shmos Yudbeis, Perek Lamed Ches. There you'll see that the Torah mentions these individuals. Yudbeis, Lamed Ches. Hold on just 1 second. I just have to take this phone call. Hello? Yes, hello, how are you? Baruch Hashem, I have to call you back, okay? I'll call you back in a little while. That's the one that just appeared on my cell phone, I imagine. Okay, but I have your cell phone number. I have it right in my... It's in my directory here, don't worry. I'll call on my way home, believe that I'll call you, okay? Be well, call too. Yeah, I knew what to say. Okay, let me just turn you off. Thank you. It's probably been about 4 days. Okay. The former Talmud Yeshiva, whom I married off. Perek Yudbeis, Pasuk Lamed Ches. You see what I'm reading? The Gam Erev Rav Alo Itam. Whom is the Erev Rav, Chazal say? Goyim. Goyim who accompanied Klal Yisrael and Adam Yisrael. So here, what's very fascinating, back in Ezra, look in Ezra Chavi again, I'm reading the end of Perek, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis. What's very interesting to me, that here also you have among the people who came with Zerubbabel, it says Mispar Anche Am Yisrael. So I assume that this language essentially comes to tell us that we are excluding the non-Jews who also accompanied or wanted to accompany those Jews who were coming back to Eretz Yisrael. I continue. I'm just reading a little bit further. In the Psukim, Gimel, and Dalet, and hey, you have lists. You can see all the lists here. B'nei Parosh, B'nei Shvatya, Pasukei, B'nei Orach. And it tells you the numbers. You notice the numbers? Of each particular family unit, we have the numbers. For example, in Pasuk Gimel, B'nei Parosh, it mentions Alpayim, Meya, Shivim, Mishnayim. B'nei Shvatya, Shlosh Meya, Shivim, Mishnayim. B'nei Orach, Shvatya, Chamishim, Mishnayim. B'nei Pachas Moab, B'nei Yeshua, El Yoav, Alpayim, Shvatya, Meya, Mishnayim, Basa. And it goes on, as you can see. And I'm not going to read all the names of the different families. And now, if I continue and more or less go to Pasuk Men, see, it's interesting, and this I'll mention in a moment, but just to show you that here you have a very, very lengthy list, and towards the end you have Shevet Levi, Halabim, Pasuk Men, B'nai Yeshua V'Kamil, L'bnei Hodavya, Shivim V'Yarba, Hamashurim B'nai Asa, Me'ah Yisim V'Shmona. The reason why I want to read some of the Pesukim, I want you to get a sense how many people made Aliyah. How many people came back to Eretz Yisrael? I don't know, I'm asking you to count the numbers over here, but if you more or less get an overall sense of what we're talking about, all the way till the three Nun Tes. And Nun Tes you have also continues in terms of those that were Olim. And it mentions in Pasuk Nun Tes actually, the Eilah Olim, Mitel Melach, Tel Chasha, Krub, Adan Ymer, Lo Yochlu Lahagi Beis Avosim, Mizarom, Im Yisrael. What a striking Pasuk. What does that mean? Apparently, we weren't able to identify these people whether they were Jewish or not. Why is that so? They lost their identity, or their yichus somehow was, shall we say, in the course of time, their yichus was became shachuk. Now, the reason why I mention all this is because now I just want to show you a bit more carefully. I actually have a list in front of me of the olim and the numbers that are involved, and I feel it's very significant to mention this because you can get a good sense. I think you more or less get a sense. Would you say there were the number of Olim was absolutely mind-boggling? Would you say the number of Olim was a trickle? Or would you say the number of Olim was somewhere in the middle? What would you say? What sense do you have? Well, just the numbers that are being enumerated over here in the Pesukim in the second paragraph of Ezra.
Yeah, that's
correct. Not too many is understatement of the year. Literally a trickle. I'll show you exactly what I'm talking about. If you look at Pasuk Beis, just for a moment, just to get a sense. The Pasuk Beis, you really don't have... We have the Manhigim I mentioned. Okay, the leaders I mentioned at the very beginning. And let's say, from Pasuk Gimel all the way to Perek Beis, I'm reading. Because the beginning just mentioned the Manhigim, correct? Just mentioned the leadership. The leadership is mentioned in Pasuk Beis, or Perek Beis. You see what I'm talking about? Zubabel, Yeshua, Nehemiah, Sroya, Reiloya, Mordechai, Bilshon. These are the leadership of Klal Yisrael. Then we continue all the way from Gimel till Yutes. These are Bnei Yehuda. Means from Shevet Yehuda, Bnei Yehuda, and I actually added it up. Came out to 13,337. That's the Sachakol of all of Bnei Yehuda. From Pasuk Gimel all the way to Pasuk Yutes. I continue. From Pasuk Chaf till Lamed Hei is Bnei Binyamin. Now these are the children of Binyamin and all the cities that the Bnei Binyamin lived in. The total number is 8,635. Next, from Lamed Vav to Lamed Tes, Kohanim. How many Kohanim came? 1,289. We are actually, as you can see, going down and down and down. I continue. Levium. How many Levium came back to Eretz Yisrael? Pasuk Mem, all the way to Mem Bet. How many Sach HaKol? 341. Mem Gimel to Nun Ches, these are the Avodim of Shlomo, or otherwise other individuals known as the Nesinim. Here you have a Sach HaKol of 392. Nun Ches to Samach, Eileh Olim Mitel Melach, these are Olim who have no Yichus. We can't identify them, Rashi says. And how many are they? 652. Samach Al to Samach Gimel. Oh, I didn't read that yet. Let's read Samach Al, this is to be fair. ובני הכהנים, בני חוויה, בני הקוס, בני ברזיל, השלוק, הגנוס, ברזיל, הגילודי, אישו ועיקורי, השמון, אלה, ביקשו כסובן, המסייחסים, ולא נמצאו, ויגועלו מן הכהונה. Maybe I just want to translate this token first. These were individuals who looked for what? כסובן, המסייחסים. What does that mean? What were they looking for? If you will, יחוס. What, how do you translate the word יחוס?
Lineage.
Lineage. They were looking for documents of lineage which would identify them, and guess what? ולא נמצאו. They were not
aware of their lineage. They did not know where they came from. Again, this all is a result of what we call assimilation. Vayigalu min hakahuna. That's a very fascinating word. Rashi translates it. Show you megalim umegualim. They can no longer work with the Kohanim because there's no ksavichos. The Kohen has to produce ksavichos. By the way, today there's a whole sugya in Ksuvos. The one of Abdallah. The one talks about how do we know if someone's a Kohen? So we generally rely on what? They don't need Truma today, correct? We're not giving Kohanim Truma to eat. So how do we know if someone's a Kohen?
Duchess,
correct? You are a Kohen. If you go up to Duchin, so that's the only way we can identify as a Kohen. Is that a totally reliable halacha way of identifying a Kohen? Certainly not. But that's what we do. So these guys were lacking in any kind of lineage, right? Go on the and then let me just read one or two mapsukim. Vayom ha'tishos alayhem, 1 second. Asher lo yuchu mikodesh hakadoshim al amon kohen urim b'tumim. That they won't be able to go ahead. Who's this, by the way? Ha'tishos. Chazal say this was Nehemiah. Nehemiah mechachaya. And Chazal say he was called Tishosa because he was the mashke of the king. He was the butler of the king, of the secular king, correct? And as a result of that, they gave him permission to do what? To drink Yayin Nesef Shalakot. That's what Chazal say. He was given permission to drink Yayin Nesef Shalakot because he was the butler of the king. A separate happened. Let me just finish this point, and then Jeremy, you'll speak. So what happened? That they cannot eat Mekadosh HaKadoshim, Aram Al Kohen, Lurim Metum. They can't eat Chatol, Sashom, Sagal HaKohanim, till Rashi quotes here something very fascinating. Aram Al Kohen, says Rashi, etc. Let me just finish this idea. Namely, that Samach Al is Samach Gimel, and then Samach Hay are the servants. Milvad Abdeyim the Amoseim, servants and maidservants. What shall I call them? Filipinos? The servants and maidservants, and how many are they? Look at this. Servants and maidservants, 7,337. Mind boggling. He had more than, shall we say, the people themselves. And finally, in Samachay, you have the Meshorim and the Meshoros. That are, what are the Meshorim and Meshoros? So Rashi indicates Meshorim and Meshoros are people who are singers. These are the musicians, if you will. Rashi even comments, since they were all the Besim Chalim Babel Eretz Israel, they made Aliyah, correct? Nefesh B'Nefesh. They did it with great simcha, with great joy. That they need a Meshorim Meshorimus in order that they should what? Create the right ambience. An ambience of great joy and the like, festivity. And so that is, we're talking about 200 people. So what am I trying to point out to you? Sach HaKol, the numbers are not even a trickle. Literally less than a trickle. I think Sach HaKol, if I'm not mistaken, what is the total number? I don't think it was less than 30,000 Jews. As a matter of fact, Avodah Me'amos, let's not include that. In the area of 20,000 Jews who made Aliyah, Sach HaKol, back there it's a song. That's an astounding statement.
What does Samach Dalet mean?
Yeah, Samach Dalet.
Now, Samach Dalet, 1 second, that's what you're asking. Kol HaKol Ki'echad, Arba Ribo. Now, here the number that's given is 42,000. How much is it? 42,360. Now, this is without the Avodim and Amos, the Meshorim and Meshoros. However, if you count the Pratim in the actual list, it comes out, I think, to 29,818. Now, I'm not mistaken. There's a discrepancy between the quote-unquote Sach HaKol that's mentioned over here, which is 42,000, what you say, 360, Kol HaKol Ke'echad, and the actual number in the list that I mentioned earlier, which comes out to 29,818. And the question is, how do you reconcile this discrepancy? Now this really, in order to reconcile that, you have to look at Rashi in Pasuk Samach Dalet. Can I read that Rashi and then Jeremy will speak? Rashi says, Kol HaKol Ke'echad. You don't have the Rashi in front of you, but I'll read it for you. Kshayu Kulam Biyachad Im HaKohanim HaLeviim HaNesiim. Means all of them together. The Kohanim, the Leviim, the Sinim. Whoever the Sinim were, Achon Rashi Tesh and Ksuvis, whoever they were. Hayom Em Cheshbon Zeh. However, those that I counted earlier, namely the ones that I mentioned to you, 29,818, says Rashi, they are from Shevet Yehuda bin Yamin. That's the distinction. So Rashi attempts to resolve, based on the discrepancy in the Seder Olam, resolve the most amazing thing to me in this paragraph. is what I said to you, and that is exactly the issue of the numbers of people that came back to Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about, what did you call it? A trickle, or the numbers are really almost, I would say, mind-boggling in terms of the limited number of people who are interested in coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Jeremy, you first. Jesse, go ahead. Yeah.
How many Jews were there in the world?
What?
Yeah,
that's a very good question. So do we know the answer to that question? No, but we can assume that there were... We have actually Mekoros here and there. I don't think we have precise Mekoros. You're asking a very good question in terms of, you know, what percentage is this of the total number of Jews that were at that point in Babel. But we do know that there were many, many more Jews than this number that were exiled to Babel. Many, many more. There were tens of thousands for sure. And this is a very small percentage of the overall population that were ready to come back to Eretz Yisrael. That's one of the, probably, if you're familiar with, there's a Rambam in one of his letters. The Rambam writes in one of his letters that we are the ones who are at fault for not coming back to Eretz Yisrael and settling Eretz Yisrael. Now, one of the issues that I mentioned already, I think even here, many people who are observant, religious Jews, from Jews, question the nature of the secular government here in Eretz Yisrael. But to a large extent, we are the ones who are responsible for our situation. Because like we, let's say, 100 years ago, made Aliyah in droves, the early Olim, the early Chalutzim, were not observant people. They were not people who were observant, who were religious Jews, they weren't. And they came to a land that was, to a large extent, infested with malaria, with disease, plagued with all kinds of problems. The religious Jews did not come. So to a certain extent, the Rambam writes, and others say this as well, we are responsible for our own situation. We're the cause of it. So instead of pointing fingers, as generally people like to do, we should point fingers at ourselves. Okay, I just had to make that comment. Yeah.
Were they living an oppressive life in Babel? Was it miserable or was it...
Now, that, by the way, is something that we can't... We do have some some sense of that in Sukkim and Tanakh, all over Tanakh. We were not, shall we say, being treated by the Babylonians in a royal, aristocratic kind of fashion, that's for sure. We were essentially slaves. We were in Shibud, in terms of taxes, in terms of how they worked us and the like. So one would perhaps think that in those circumstances, that itself would be an impetus for Jews to go ahead and make Aliyah. And want to come back to Eretz Yisrael. What? Very similar. That's correct. But what happened to Mitzrayim is that that's the nature of the beast, of the nature of people who go into exile. So even though initially it may be difficult, but you know, people acclimate. That's the nature of what human beings are all about. And once we acclimated, even to Mitzrayim we acclimated. You don't want to leave Mitzrayim as well? Zachanu Sadoga Shenochav in Mitzrayim Tinan. Oh, we remember the good old days in Egypt. Good old days. And when the Torah describes Akishumim, Avatichim, Absolim, Hashumim, Beato Nafshein in Reisha Ein Kol, Bilti Laman in Eno. This is what we're getting out of the Midbar, the Mon. That's what we had in Mitzrayim. We had a cornucopia of vegetables and what have you. A panoply of things, anything that we can possibly imagine. I think the same mentality also existed here. And by the way, I think the Navi is really indicting Klal Yisrael for this kind of mindset, for this kind of mentality. Okay, I'm now going a bit further. This is really why this particular chapter, this particular parak, is very, very critical, because it really sheds light on a very significant issue, which is still significant. There's no question that Jews who live in Chutzaretz, again, I'm not here to indict Jews living in Chutzaretz, that's not where I'm coming from. There are those who actually do indict them. We've had such people in the yeshiva, and we still have some of them in the yeshiva, Baruch Hashem. But at the same time, I think that ideally, it's clear that even though the Gemara says in Pesachim that Tzedakah Asah HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yisrael Shebizon Menumas HaOlam, Hashem did us a favor by scattering us among all the nations of the world, namely because otherwise we wouldn't be able to survive to a certain extent. But on the other hand, Mitzad Sheni, there's no question that an ideal for a Jew is to at least make an effort to make Aliyah and to try to live in Eretz Yisrael. There are many, many pluses to Eretz Yisrael, especially today, is my name and honor when things have changed. I'm not saying life here is, shall we say, totally without any kind of problematica. I didn't say that at all. But the truth is, life anywhere on this globus has problematica. Whether you live in Teaneck, New Jersey, or you live in Chicago, or whether you live in the West Coast, in LA, or wherever you live, there is problematica everywhere.
Especially St. Louis.
What?
Especially St. Louis.
Even in St. Louis. Correct. There's problematica there as well. But whatever the case is, it's clear that Tanakh is Moli Begodush with the centrality of Eretz Yisrael and its role. And that's really Baruch Hashem why, another reason why many of you come to Eretz Yisrael, not just to learn, because that's the main reason why you come here, but also to become hopefully enamored of Eretz Yisrael. I fell in love with Eretz Yisrael in the year 71, 72 when I was here. No question about it. From that point on, I dreamt of living in Eretz Yisrael. That's really what generated that chalom on my part. It took me many, many years to come back. It did not happen right away. Two of my brothers stayed in Eretz Yisrael. One of my brothers has never left Eretz Yisrael. He will not leave Eretz Yisrael. He will not go to Tumas Eretz Ha'amin. To the Tumas. Gemara speaks about it. Gemara speaks about Tumas Eretz Ha'amin. He will not leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Tumas Eretz Ha'amin. Matter of fact, that brother was not at my wedding because he wouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. Not the one that you know. Aaron David did come to my wedding, but my other brother, Rahul David, who's a rabbi in Hadera in the hospital, did not come to my wedding. He does not leave Eretz Yisrael. I think I told you this story a number of times. I've never saw Shlita told me. A number of occasions I've never saw went to Chutzaretz. They honored him a number of years ago from the yeshiva. They wrote a Sefer Torah in his honor, and he left Eretz Yisrael on Matzah Shabbos. And the dinner was on Sunday night. And then after the dinner, Rabbi Nemtzel got back on a plane to go back to Eretz Yisrael. He couldn't handle being out of Eretz Yisrael for more than one day. He got back on a plane, came back to Eretz Yisrael, was back by Monday. So I called him up on Monday night. I asked the Rab, Eich Haya Bikur? How was the visit to Chutzaretz? So he said, Rab David, I'll never forget this. Ein maspik mikvaot be'Eretz Yisrael l'taheroti b'tumat Eretz Ami. Everyone understood that?
Yeah.
Mind-boggling. Push it, mind-boggling. Because I was about to start up with him. I have to stand to start up with the wrong people. But I, you know, didn't enjoy it. We had a good meal. We went to a restaurant. No, none of that. There aren't enough mikvahs in Eretz Yisrael to purify him from the tumas Eretz Yisrael. Because he's a Jew who's a ish kadosh, who's kashur to Eretz Yisrael b'chol nifchei liba v'nafsha. Alavai, I should be able to read such a madrega, but I also love Eretz Yisrael. And I also feel a connection to Eretz Yisrael. And Baruch Hashem, I'm zocha to be raising my children and grandchildren here, basically. And that's really an unbelievable schus that Hashem was mezaken me. And Baruch Hashem, little by little, will marry off my children in Eretz Yisrael. And that's a great thing. Okay, I want to go to Perek Gimel. Now, Perek Gimel of Sefer Ezra really talks about two very significant activities that occurred over here that the Bnei Tzion did. One activity, of course, is the building of the Mizbeach, and in fact, they were Mechadish once again, Avodas HaKavonos. That's the Pesukim Aleph all the way to Pasuk Vav. I'll read that in a second. And number two, Pasuk Zayin to Yud Gimel, deals with the building of the Heichal. But if you remember, when Koresh, look back again in the Perek Aleph for a second, what was part of Koresh's mandate, if you recall? Look back in the Perek Aleph of Koresh's mandate. What did Hashem tell him to do? Pasuk Beis. Kol Mar Koresh. Kol Mamlechos Ha'aretz Nasan Li Hashem Elokei Hashamayim. Ve'ufa Karolai. What did Hashem tell him to do? Livnos Bayis B'Yushalayim. That's number one. Now look in Pasuk Gimel. The end of Pasuk Gimel in Perek Aleph. Ve'yivin Es Beis Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Hu Ha'elokim Hashem B'Yushalayim. Correct? That's in Pasuk Gimel. And then, what did he do? Koresh actually went ahead. Now, what was the main mandate of Koresh? Was to rebuild what? Beis HaMikdash. That was his primary mandate that Koresh felt he received min HaShemayim. Because he constantly speaks of Elokim Hashem Yerushalayim, Beit Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Beis Elokim Hashem Yerushalayim. That was his primary mandate. And so we'll see now that in Perek Beis, matter of fact, look in Perek Beis again, pasuk samach ches. You see Perek Beis pasuk samach ches. Beis samach ches. Umei rashi ha'avos v'bon the Beis Hashem Hashem u'shaloyim. Hisnadu the Beis Elokim la amido amechono. What was the main object? Main object was to what? Restore the Beis Hamikdash. Those were the doubles. Those were the contributions that were made. La amido amechono. So that really is the major. Now the question, of course, is why? Why is this the thrust of their activity? It means why did everything begin with the building of the Mizbeach and once again trying to restore the Avodas HaKorbanos? And what's interesting, as I said, first they built the Mizbeach and then the Avodas HaKorbanos before they went ahead and decided to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Means why did they start with the Mizbeach and Avodas HaKorbanos? They should have started with building the Beis HaMikdash. Wouldn't that be the logical thing to do? And you'll take a look at Perek Gimel that we're just beginning right now. You'll see what I'm talking about. Let's just read the Psukim, and then I'm asking the question to give you a chance to think about it, to give you an answer. I'll read the Psukim. Ba'yiga ha'chodesh ha'shvi'i u'bnei Yisrael ba'orim ba'yasuham kish echad el Yerushalayim. By the way, what does that pasuk sound like to you? Ba'yasuham kish echad. What does it remind you of? Excellent, which is found where? Twice in Chumash. Once with reference to?
Negad
Ahar by Matan Torah. Take a look for a moment. It's good to see everything inside. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Negad Ahar. When they're referring to the Pesukim, you are correct. Look at Parshat Yisrael. That's one moment. Just hold on to the Ezra and look back at Yisrael.
Where is this?
Parshat Yisrael in Shmos. I'll give you the Pesukim in 1 second. Should be in Perek Yutes. Here it is. In Perek Yutes, very beginning should be Pasuk Beis. By Yisum Refidim, by Yavon Bitra Sinai, by Yachan Bamidbar, by Yichan Sham Yisrael Negel Ahar. So Chazal say, as you point out correctly, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. A similar Pasuk is also found in Bishalach. Rashi actually asked the Kasha, because before Kriyas Yamsum, there also the Torah describes Klal Yisrael in a similar kind of fashion. And Rashi actually asked the question, why there's a slight distinction between the two? Because in one case Rashi says, Ki Ishecha B'lei Becha, and the other place Rashi says, B'lei Becha Ki Ishecha. Whatever the case is, this pasuk reminds me, over here in Ezra Gimel, Pasuk Aleph reminds me of those two contexts. I'm reading a bit further. I want to read the parak, okay? Pasuk Beis here, parak Gimel of Ezra. Vayokam Yeshua ben Yotzadu v'yachal ha'kon v'zubavah v'chaltil v'yachal v'yivnu es mizbach alokei Yisrael. They built him his back. L'halos olav olos k'akosim v'teras Moshe Yishalokim. So again, what was the first thing they did? Not build the Beis HaMikdash. That's what I would expect them to do. If that was the mandate that Ezra reports, namely that Koresh from on high received that mandate, one would think that would be the initial thrust of their activity. No, first they build the mizbeach, and continuing pasuk gimel. Vayachina mizbeach abechadosav ki beim aleya meyamei haaratzos. This is also a very significant pasuk. That apparently there was what? A lot of fear. Meyamei haaratzos. We'll talk about that later on. Vayado olos Hashem olos abogim olarev. And what do they offer up? The carbon olah that's offered in the morning and the evening, which is known as which carbon? Tamid shel shachar and tamid shel. This is a carbon olah. Yeah.
Could this have anything to do, just guessing here maybe, that in the end of Yeshua, when B'nai Reuven, Gad, and Menashe leave, they make another Mizbeah. And then an army's sent, and they're like, they're ready to go to war, and they're saying, why are you building the Mizbeah? Or you have one, and they're saying, just to testify to our children that we're qualified, connected. So maybe this was like that idea.
Okay, that's a very that's a fascinating theory. I hear the possibility. Okay, I would like to suggest several other things, as you'll see in a moment. But I hear what you're saying, and the Reuven is right. Then the Sefer Yeshua, you have the rather massive building of Mizbeach. But I'm just troubled why they Dafka. It seems to me the norm would have been first to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and then get into the Pratim of the Be'ah. Okay, I hear what you're suggesting. And also, Karbanos I mentioned it. Let's read a bit further. Pasuk K, ויחריכן אמינים פרק גיל ופסקי אבזר, ויחריכן אול הסתובד ולחדושים ולכל מודי השם המקודושים ולכל מסנדים דבר על השם, ביום איך לחודש השביעי החל לאלוס אולס השם ואיך על השם לא ניסן. It's mentioned that at this point, or heretofore, the Eichel Hashem was not yet established. That's going to be the next step. In Pasuk Zayin, Vayidu Kesel Lachotzim Lacharoshim, these are the artisans who know how to build, Umachol Amishte, B'shem Elatzidonim Elatzorim, Lohavi Atzei Arozim Elalvonim, El Yam, Yofo, Kibishom Kharoshim Elaparasalem. By the way, this should remind you also of something. Where are they getting all the material from? They're getting Atzei Arozim Elalvonim, El Yam Yofo. If you remember Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, who was the major supplier? Shall we say who was that? Correct, also, but there was one king that was very well known, who was heavily involved. No, what? Hiram, if you remember, was the one who really essentially provided most of the material to the Beis HaMikdash. So here, we're dealing with Sidonim, and it's very important to learn Tanakh. You really have to learn it many, many times, as I indicated to you earlier. Okay, I'll read a bit further. Now we're going to talk about the Eichel Hashem. That's the next few psukim. Ubashon Hashem is Pasuk Ches. Levam v'beis elokim v'yushalayim v'chodesh Hashini v'chelu zubav v'ben shaltiel v'yeshua ben yotzor v'yishar achem v'akon v'alviyim v'chol avoyim v'yashvi v'yushalayim v'yavinis alviyim v'nes v'yishon v'amala l'natzeach al-melachat beis Hashem. What's the function of Levim? What are they primarily doing? Lam natzeach. What's Lam natzeach referred to? I'm going to tell you first the Lashon Shira, correct? We have many psukim in Tehillim, as you know, that begin with what? Lam Natzeach Meninginos is the Gemara in Psochim, in Arab Psochim. I believe it is today's Daf Hayomi, which I have not seen yet, but if I'm not mistaken, today's Daf Hayomi, which is probably on Kuf Yud Zayin. And Kuf Yud Zayin, Arab Psochim, you have a whole description of 10 different terms that are used in Tehillim to describe different types of Hallel, Hallelukah, and Lamatzeach, and Mizmor, and on and on and on. And the word Halukah is also one of them. And here the word, as you can see, the Levim are in effect functioning in what capacity? Lenatzeach, Alosi Amalach Mavesu Elohim, Amalach Mavesu Hashem. Pasuk test. Vayamun Yeshua Bono Viachal Kamil, Uvano Bnei Yehudu Kiachal Lenatzeach, Alosi Amalach Mavesu Elohim, Bnei Cheinodot, Bnei Amachem Alvim. And then it tells you what they did. You have to Mizbeach, and Pasuk Yud, Viyistu Abono Mesechal Hashem. So they built the Heichal. Means they're going to use Sefer Tehillim, and obviously that will be used for what purpose? To say Shvachim v'Kilusim to Hashem Yisbarach. Isn't this a very beautiful pasuk? La'halos Hashem al yidei David Melech Yisrael, namely using Shirim v'Tishvachos that were established by whom? By David HaMelech, and of course he's the one, the name of Yisrael, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The author, primary author of Sefer Tehillim, the Gemara Balabasa, the first parak. There were 10 others who were involved, but he was the primary author of Sefer Tehillim. And now look at the response. Vayanu b'halel u'behodos Hashem kitov yolam chazdo al Yisrael v'cholam hevi yitzru gedola b'halel Hashem al husa beis Hashem. So, in effect, what you have in this chapter are two elements. Number one, building on the Mizbeach, and number two, building on the Heichal. Now the question was, why did they build the Beis HaMikdash? So you suggested an answer. I want to suggest two different answers. Again, just speculative. I'm very good at speculation. Answer number one is that from the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, 50 years had passed. And during that year, during that period of time, you can imagine the Har Bayis of Shomein was desolate. And obviously on it were the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the remains of the Beis HaMikdash. And I can imagine that at a certain point in time, I don't know if you have read about the different layers and more layers during the period of time that the Midrash was Shomein during the course of the millennia. In different periods of time, there were layers upon layers upon layers of how shall we describe them? At one point, no one even knew the Beis HaMikdash was there because it was completely covered, enveloped by layers of
rubble.
And literally garbage that you spoke about earlier. There was one point in history, I think in the days of the Ottoman Empire, the whole famous story, I told about this once, I think I spoke about it, maybe I didn't hear.
The coins?
What?
The coins?
Yes. Where did you read about that story?
These things.
What?
I've just heard it.
Yeah, so there's a very famous story, whatever the case is. So it could very well be that simply it was a logistical issue as far as just simply rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, it would not have been possible logistically. But I want to just mention that there's another pasuk here that I thought you would be drawn to in pasuk gimel, a parak gimel. Look in pasuk gimel for a second. I think this has a suggestion over here why they did not do what they did. Why they decided to do something in a very limited fashion, as opposed to becoming, shall we say, very grandiose. Namely, what does it say in pasuk gimel? Vayachinam mizbeach al chadasa. They prepared the mizbeach on its foundation. Ki ba'ema aleihem me'amei ha'aratzos. Anyone translate that? What?
You still feared the people?
Correct. There was apparently tremendous fear. It's true. There were several thousand people, we already mentioned the numbers, who came with Zerubbabel, but they were frightened to go ahead and do something grandiose. Why? Because they would encounter opposition from, how should we say, the local locals.
That means they didn't have
Muna. Okay. I hope to talk about that issue. 100%, but still, you have to understand, listen, you, with all due respect to your very important statement that you just made, not correct, but one can see they're surrounded by tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of natives who are obviously inimical to their plans. We're talking about people who live, the local denizens, what I call the local yokels, those who are living there, and they lived there before the Holy Bible came back. And then they decided, let us begin on a very limited kind of basis, and let us try to build a mizbeach. Let's start in a very small kind of way, as opposed to, shall we say, any kind of grandiose plan. And I think the Malbim actually says this outright. The Malbim says, yes, discussion. Maybe the question I asked you, why is it that the thrust of the Odi Baba was first to build a mizbeach and then to build a heichal, as opposed to having this grandiose plan of building a mishamidosh? So he understands that because the fear was that Ami Ha'aratzos, the natives, would become extremely restless, and in effect they would immediately react and respond to such grandiose plans with opposition, fierce resistance. By the way, those of you who are aware of what happened in the 1800s, or those who are aware of the initial waves of Aliyah, the initial waves of Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael were met with violent resistance, with pogroms. Are you familiar a little bit with modern Jewish history? I should never ask these questions. But you undoubtedly have read or have heard about the incredible resistance to the different ways of Aliyah to try to come to Eretz Yisrael. It's understandable. People are living here. By the way, you can go back to Pasha Shlach, to the Meraglim. If you remember when the Meraglim came to Eretz Yisrael, how did they see the people looking at them? How? What does the Torah describe? How did they see themselves? Vatehi b'yeneinu kachagovim. We were like grasshoppers. B'yeneinu. V'chein hayinu b'yeneyeh. And so they perceived us as being grasshoppers. How did they know how others perceived them? The answer is, what is it called in psychological terms? German? Basic psychology. This is like psychology 1-2, armchair psychology.
Self-confidence?
Correct. Yes. Lack of self-esteem, lack of self-confidence. You call it lack of emunah. But certainly people who are going to, those who made Aliyah, I'm talking about the early waves of Aliyah, encountered fierce and violent opposition resistance. Yeah, go ahead, Jesse.
They were fearful of the opposition because there was a lot of opposition.
There certainly was. That's the whole sefer. The entire sefer of Ezra deals with the opposition of the local yokels to what they were trying to do. Even though they had the imprimatur of whom? Of Koresh, Melech Poras. That's very nice. He's where? Yonder. And these local yokels are right here. Johnny on the spot. I don't care about Koresh, Melech Poras. With all his grandiose, shall we say, palatial intrigue. But I'm living right here, and someone is trying to get into my backyard. I'm not too happy about it. Okay, I guess I'll stop over here, and with that, we shall continue. Good. Just put this over here. Thank you very much.